We and Ed are going to do parts of this discussion that we didn't actually get to last year, at least as far as I could recall. So the first thing we're going to talk about is laundry. Laundry is actually a 9 days restriction. And the first thing we have to talk about is where does the Isser come from? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Aser l'gdolim, l'chabes l'ktanim, k'susam b'shabesh achal tisha b'av li'os b'socha. So during the 9 days, or for Sfaradim, it's the Shavua Shechalba, Ashkenazim extend that to the 9 days, there's an Isser on laundering. Before we get to what the Mechaber actually says, let's try to explain that. Why is there an Isser on laundering? So, most of the restrictions during the 9 days come from Hilchos Avelos. Not all, as we'll see, but most. So, what is the halacha about laundering during Avelos? So, the halacha is that during the period of Shiva, laundering is asur. So, we carry that over to here. However, the matter isn't so simple. Why not? What is the Isser of laundering during Shiva? So there are two halachos during Shiva. Number one is that the Avel cannot wear freshly laundered clothing. And number two is that the Avel can't launder clothing, even if he's not going to wear them till after the period of Avelos has ended. Why not? So here there's two opinions. One opinion is that the Isser of laundering is one of the Shiva restrictions. There are a lot of things you can't do during Shiva, and one of them is laundering. Now, if that shot is correct, so then it makes sense why during Shavuot Shechalbo and for Ashkenazim all of the 9 days you can't launder your clothing, because we basically copy the Isser from Hilchos Avelos. Hilchos Avelos is two halachos. Halacha number one is not wearing freshly laundered clothing, and that applies during the 9 days. And halacha number two, you can't launder, and that applies during the 9 days. However, the Ramban holds that there's no fundamental Isser to launder during Shiva. And he proves it because there's no need for such an Isser, since anyway there's an Isser Malacha. That means that during the Shiva, the Avel, except under very extenuating circumstances, can't do malacha. Now, the definition of the Isser Malacha during the Shiva is very complex. But Ramban assumes it would pertain to laundering. So, there's no special Isser of laundering during the Shiva. Rather, there's an Isser to do malacha, which would include laundering. Now, if that's true, so then it doesn't make sense why there would be an Isser of laundering during the 9 days. Why? Because there's no Isser Malacha during the 9 days. During the 9 days, a person's allowed to go to work. Now, it's true that one is supposed to be Mima'et, B'ma'aseh U'matan, to some degree, minimize certain types of business, which is a halacha that's practically rarely observed. We could talk about that later. But it would not restrict laundering. So if you don't think there's an Isser of laundering during Shiva, then there shouldn't be an Isser of laundering during the 9 days. So the Ramban himself in the Tarsa Adam is bothered by this question, and this might be evidence for the other view that we mentioned before, but the Ramban accepts that, rejects that. So how does the Ramban explain it? So he gives two answers, but the basic idea is that this is a special gzeira or chshad, meaning to say if you launder your clothing, you might actually wear freshly laundered clothing, or people will think you're going to wear freshly laundered clothing, or the like. So the Isser of laundering during the 9 days is atypical. And this is especially true, by the way, if you follow the theory of the Rav. The Rav held that the Avelos restrictions on Tisha B'Av are like the Shiva during the 9 days, or Shavu Shechalbo, are like the Shloshim, and the Isser of 3 weeks is like Yud Beis Chodesh. Now, we'll see, there do seem to be some exceptions to that. But let's assume that's fundamentally correct. So then, the Isser of laundering is only... thought it was lightning, but it's early 4th of July. The Isser of laundering is only during the Shiva. So if the Isser of laundering is only during the Shiva, then why would it apply all of the 9 days? So the answer is that this is unusual, this is an exception. The Mishnah Berurah also tries to address this question. He says the reason why you can't launder during the 9 days, even though generally speaking melacha is permissible, is because it will cause hesach hadas from the avelos. Now that's a reason that's probably not so relevant for us. Laundering used to be a very intense, labor-intensive activity. So if you had to go launder during the 9 days, it would take all of your day and it would distract you from the avelos, which is parenthetically a remarkable point, which is that the Mishnah Berurah is assuming that a person during the entire period of the 9 days, to some degree, has his mind on Chorban HaBayis, and while he still is going to continue to going to work to some degree, but activities that are particularly distracting are going to be prohibited. And that's why Chazal asserted doing the laundry during Shavu Shechalbo, and we Ashkenazim extend that to the 9 days. So that relates to the halacha. Again, there are two halachos. One is the isser of wearing freshly laundered clothing, and one is the isser of laundering. And we said three possible reasons why there's an isser of laundering, or four. One is that that's a carryover from Avelos. Number two is it's not a carryover from Avelos, but a concern for chshad, or a concern that you might come to wear freshly laundered clothing, or because it distracts you from the Avelos. So that's the basic halacha. Now what about the isser of wearing freshly laundered clothing? So how long does that last during Avelos? So according to the strict halacha, and this is what the Gemara seems to say according to most Rishonim, the isser of wearing freshly laundered clothing only is a restriction of Shiva. During Shloshim there's an isser of Gihutz, which according to most opinions means freshly pressed clothing, but freshly laundered clothing is only usher during the Shiva. There are some opinions that seem to be prohibit even laundering all of Shloshim. It's based off of a statement in Masechta Sofrim. And the way we paskin, the way Ashkenazim, that is, paskin, is that really Mikra Adin, it's Aser Shiva, but the Minhag is to Aser it all of Shloshim. And therefore, at least Mitzad Minhag, in this case, the 9 days, is equivalent to the Shloshim, that there's a Minhag of not wearing freshly laundered clothing. So there are two questions that we have to talk about here. These are the commonly accepted questions, the commonly asked questions. Number one, are there any exceptions? Clothing about one, which one is allowed to wear freshly laundered clothing? And number two is, what about other people wearing them, or you're wearing them? In Avelos, it's other people wearing it, and 9 days would be you're wearing it before the 9 days start. And then also, I guess we should go back to the other question of if are there exceptions to the isser of laundering, like what about if you run out of clothing or little children or the like? So let's do one at a time. So the first question is, if you wear it first. So where does this idea come from? So it comes from Hilchos Avelos and Simen Shin Pei Tes in Yordea, where the Rama has his restriction applying wearing freshly laundered clothing all Shloshim, based off of a minag. He writes, the im lav show adam acher rak sha'achas dai bekach, that even though the minag is to extend it all 30 days, now that could be very difficult, because not wearing freshly laundered clothing for the Shiva, that's pretty hard also, but that's, you know, reasonable. But for all of Shloshim, so the Rama says, well, if somebody else wears it, sha'achas, that's enough.
He's talking about freshly laundered clothing or new clothing?
Freshly laundered clothing, that's what it says. I'll read you the Rama. The Chayin, he says, v'noagim, although aser l'chabes k'suso kol shiva yamim, afilu b'mayim levad, can't wash your clothing even with just water, l'achar shiva mutu, k'shem sh'aser l'chabes, kach aser l'lvosh ha-mechubasim kodim l'chein, just like it's aser to wash, so too it's aser to wear freshly laundered clothing. V'no'agim sh'adam acher lov shem t'chila, the minhag is somebody else wears them first, v'achar kach lov shem ha'avel. V'haminag ikar. So the chenogim medinos elu la'achar shiva. So the minhag is to rely on this leniency, but only after shiva. V'imlav shav adam acher rak sha'achas. And if the other person only wears it 1 hour, die bekach, it's enough. So they're talking about another person wearing it, because the avel can't wear it. The avel can't, what's he going to do, put on his clothing before his relative dies? That's not very reasonable. So, but what he could do is he could ask somebody else, could you wear this for an hour? We'll have to define what an hour is, but could you wear this for an hour? And then, since it's no longer freshly washed, the avel could wear it. But the Rama says this is only permissible during the shloshim, but not during the Earth Shiva. Now, what about during the Shiva? So if you look, Tosfos actually says that even during the Shiva, if somebody else wears it for half a day or a day, that's also okay. So what is this idea of somebody else wearing it for only an hour? So you could just say, well, we're more makel, because anyway, the Shloshim is a minhag. But probably the Pshat is something else, which is even though the Ramah says you can't wear freshly laundered clothing during the Shloshim, if it's just washed with water, then you could be mako, only if it's washed with detergent. So if somebody else wears it for an hour, that makes it like it was washed in water. It takes away some of the freshness, and that's good enough for the shloshim. Whereas during the shiva, when you can't even wear freshly laundered clothing that were laundered with just water, so then somebody else has to wear it for a half a day or a day to make it considered really worn, and then the avel could wear it. So what that means is if the avel wants to wear freshly laundered clothing during the shiva, then, at the very least, somebody else should wear it for a real significant period of time, like a day, half a day. But if it's during the shloshim, as long as somebody else wears it for an hour, that's good enough. The shach says, what does an hour mean? Doesn't mean literally an hour. Kolomar, zman ma, ve'en, right? A little bit of time. How bit a little bit of time? Even a second? Some of the posts say, no, that doesn't make any sense. Nothing changes for a second. L'masho. When you go to a store and try something on, for a minute, and you don't like it, you put it back on the rack, right? It's still new clothing. You know, I once heard, you know, maybe an Istanist will wash their clothing before they wear it the first time.
I still wash it.
Okay. So I think most people don't. Most people, when I get something new from the store, I will wear it without washing, even though I know there's a chance somebody else tried it on for a minute or two. So it has to be long enough to have some effect, but doesn't even have to be an hour. Something significant. That is the halach. And since this din during the shiva is modeled after the shloshim, so it's enough to have sha'achas and as daibekach. So that means try in your clothing for some time before the 9 days starts. Doesn't even have to be an hour. Should be more than a minute. Enough to take away some of the freshness. That's the halach. Now, if you forget, so some poskim say you could step on it. I've heard other poskim say you could put it in your dirty hamper for a couple minutes. Something that takes away some of the newly laundered aspect of it. And especially, there's even a little more leniency during the 9 days versus Shavuot Shechalbo. There's a question we could talk about it later, whether there is Shavuot Shechalbo this year. Okay, so that, yeah, you had a question?
This is a freshly laundered just means that, like, any time after it's been washed.
Anytime after it's been washed, even for a year.
But someone has to wear it.
Right.
Otherwise.
Now, the next clothing is, which question is this, which clothing does this apply to? So, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Avelos, or here, you don't see any exceptions. But there is this famously known exception for underwear or big day zaya or the like. So where does that come from? So it's actually questionable in terms of its source. But there's a pischei tshuva in Hilchos Avelos that says the following. Here it is. The pischei tshuva, it's Simon Shin Pei Tesef Katan Beis, writes, Ayin lach me toda. When is it that it's usher to wear something that somebody else wore, even though they wore it for an hour? It's only usher It's only usur. It's only mutter after the shiva. During the shiva, even if somebody else wore it for an hour, the avil shouldn't wear it. That's only usur when you're changing l'tainug, for pleasure. Avil machlef l'tzorech, if you're changing for a need, kigon shachalak meluchlach, like your clothing are dirty. Now, there's what happens. A person goes ahead, and they're sitting shiva, but their clothing gets very dirty. Could happen after a week, right? Al mishum irbuvia shari afilu b'chol toch shiva al yidei kach kimo berechitza delo aser ala shel tainog kimo shekasav liyal shin pei aleph umashalo. So what does he say? Very interesting idea. When it comes to the avel's restriction upon bathing, so we know an avel can't bathe for all of shiva. However, the halacha is that that's only bathing latainug. But if a person is bathing to get rid of the dirt, for example, it's mutter. If you're dirty, it's mutter. Or if you're an istinus, it's mutter. Because you're not doing it latainug, you're bitzar. A person who's an istinus is bitzar. And they weren't gozer, the dinim of shiva, certainly after the first day, for an istinus. The Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel's was in Avelos, and that first night, meaning the beginning of the second day of Avelos, the first night after the Avelos began, he bathed. His Talmidim asked, you know, what are you doing? We know this is Aser. And he answered, well, I'm an Istinus. And especially because Aninus Lila is only Durabanan, so it was okay. So the idea is, now, the Shulchan Aruch says earlier, any old person can't just say I'm an Istinus. And then bathe during Shiva. It has to be someone who is bitzar. Some poskim say that that's pretty common nowadays. Perhaps in the olden days, it was almost everybody, except for some rare exceptions, unusual people that were in istinus, could manage to go for the Shiva without bathing. But clearly nowadays, hygienic practices have changed, and a lot of people would be bitzar. And if you're going to be bitzar, so then it's permissible. What does tzar mean? Again, here, psoskim give different standards. I heard Rabbi Shechter say, it means you're itchy. And you're uncomfortable due to your itchiness. That's enough, even during shiva. And certainly, during the 9 days, we're even more mako than shiva. So if you're bathing either to clean yourself from dirt, or from sweat, lahavir hazuama, so then one is allowed to bathe or shower during the 9 days. And even during shiva, though again, during shiva, we tend to be more machmir and say that only if it's b'makom tzar. But fundamentally, the iser applies only for rechitza shel tainug and not rechitza to alleviate tzar. Again, a tricky question that we're not going to get into now is what about cases in between. But that's basically the halacha for bathing. So this sefer that the Pesachei Tshuva quotes says, well, just like that's true with respect to bathing, it's also going to be true with respect to freshly laundered clothing. When is wearing freshly laundered clothing aser? That's when you're doing it latainug. But if you're doing it because your old clothing is dirty, then just like you're allowed to bathe when your old clothing are dirty, so too, you're allowed to change your clothing. And this is the source for the idea that during an avel, or during the 9 days, you could change undergarments, what are sometimes called big dezeya. It's not a halacha category, big dezeya. It comes up in Kriya maybe, but nothing to do with here. But the idea is that people want to change their big dezeya, not latinug, but again, because the equivalent to bathing lahavir hazuama, you're going to be uncomfortable if you don't change them. And therefore, even though they're freshly laundered, it's okay. Now, the truth is that if you actually, and then the Pesachei Tshuva quotes that he says, Uma shelo ba'adavar zeh mefurish b'poskim. The poskim don't say this. That's because meirov pshituso. Since it's so obvious, it need not be stated. Now, the truth is that even though when you read the Pesachei Tshuva, you get the impression that you're allowed to, the Avel's allowed to put on freshly laundered clothing if it's because his other clothing are dirty, if you look up that source inside, the Lachmei Todah, he doesn't say that. What he actually says is, it's permissible to wear clothing that somebody else wore if you're only doing it because your clothing are dirty or the like. In other words, even though we said before that somebody else wearing clothing, the minhag is only to permit that after Shiva, but if all your clothing is dirty, then during Shiva, somebody else could wear it first. Now, if that's true, so then there's no longer any basis from this particular source to learn the hatter of wearing freshly laundered undergarments, either during Shiva or during 9 days. So now we're in trouble, because everybody relies on the source. So if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan over here in Hilchos Aveilos, probably didn't look up the Lachmei Todah inside, and therefore he quotes it as quoted by the Pischei Tshuva, that it's mutter even if nobody else wore it, because it's not changing clothing for Tainug, and as long as it's not for Tainug, it's permissible. And even if the Lachmei Todah didn't say that, kula, but the Aruch HaShulchan said it. And even though he said it based off of Lachmei Todah, he obviously thought it was true. So it's the kula of the Aruch HaShulchan, not the kula of the Lachmei Todah. It's a big chiddush, because you might have thought that the guidelines or the definitions of the Issur Rechitza are different than the Issur of Kibbutz. Rechitza is only Asur if it's Rechitza Shel Tainug. Kibbutz is Asur across the boards. Nevertheless, we generally speaking accept this kula. And that's why in Avel does, generally speaking, wear freshly laundered undergarments. And during the 9 days, certainly where we're even more meikel, you can wear freshly laundered undergarments, or what people call Big Day Zayah. So now the question is, what is included in Big Day Zayah? So everybody's going to agree it's undergarments. What about shirts? What about pants or skirts or the like? So Rabbi Willig here, if you look at the Svarim, the classical Svarim that I think people always look at during the 9 days is Rabbi Eider's Sefer. Now, Simcha Bunim Kohn also has one. So, if you look at the Svarim, at least Rabbi Eider's, I assume Rabbi Kohn's as well, but I don't know. Rabbi Eider's Sefer, he says, pants count, and there's pants you have to wear before the 9 days. Pants and shirts, you have to wear, try them on for a little bit of time before the 9 days, as opposed to undergarments. So, therefore, according to Rabbi Eider, you'd have to try on all your pants and your shirts beforehand. However, Rabbi Willig thinks that anything that you, generally speaking, change every day has the same rule as even undergarments. If these are things that get dirty after a day, and therefore people change them every day, so it's the same thing, basically, as Big Day Zayah as underwear, undershirt. What's the difference? So, for most men, let's say, that means that they change their shirts every day. They don't change their pants every day. You wear pants many times. So, you wouldn't have to try on your shirts before the 9 days, but you would have to try on your pants before the 9 days. So, you're women, I'm not, so you could plug that into women's clothing, but I would imagine there's a similar distinction, something that a person would wear twice, so then you should try them on beforehand. Now, even though this is somewhat questionable, as we've said, even during the Shiva it's questionable, and then extending that to shirts is questionable, but at the same time we have to keep in mind that this extension to the 9 days is also a minhag, and b'makom tzar lo nagu, and therefore to rely on this leniency, I think, is something that is very reasonable.
And something like pajamas also
wear? No, I mean, I think you should. Yeah, again, depends on how you use your pajamas, but I would think for most people that you shouldn't wear freshly laundered pajamas. It applies to sheets as well. You shouldn't, sheets, towels, all those types of things, you shouldn't have freshly laundered sheets or towels. I saw one of the poskim was asked, what if you do if you go to a hotel? So you can't like go to a hotel and ask for dirty sheets, right? I mean, you won't want to, and they won't even give it to you. So okay, you jump on the bed a little bit. It's a lot of fun, right? Step on the bed, and after you're done jumping on your bed, then your sheets will no longer have that freshly cleaned feeling. What about the question that we asked in terms of are there any exceptions to that? What would an exception be? So, children's clothing. So the Rama writes back in Hilchos Tisha B'Av Taf Kuf Nun Aleph Sif Yudalet Miu, Begadim Shemalafafin Baham Haktanim Lagamrei Shemotzian Baham Ri'i Umashtinin Baham. These are cloth diapers. Hanivade Mishra Shari. Even though generally speaking, you shouldn't even wash the clothing of your children. This is okay. Vafilu Bigde Shar Ktanim Nagu Lahakel. And even the clothing of general of children, they were mako. Why? Says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Lavush, De'ein b'kibus an shalelu misham simcha. These, wearing these types of clothing is not simcha. Now, what does that mean? So, that means that basically the principle that we said before, which is that it's only kibush shel simcha that's aser. So even though it's very interesting because generally speaking the rules of avelus don't apply to ktanim, and most poskim assume there's not even chinuch for avelus for katan. That's an interesting question. Why? But the general, real avelos. But during the 9 days, we assume it is, and that's because we call it avelos de rabim. Avelos de rabim were more machmir. So you can't. You do have to. A child, let's say that's a gil chinuch. Someone asked me today, could their child listen to music, and could their child go swimming? So the answer is it depends on the age of the child. If they're higiel chenach for avelos and the churban, they should not. If they're lo higiel chenach, it's okay. Here we're talking about a 1-2-year-old. They're lo higiel chenach, so it's okay if they go swimming or listen to music or the like. That's okay. Mashein kain, an older child that's higiel chenach. So the minhag is basically what this means for children is, you know, the heter of diapers isn't so relevant anymore because nobody uses cloth diapers, but if you run out of clothing for your kids, for your little kids, then it's permissible to launder them so that they have what to wear.
It's really, isn't that kind of a statement of a lack of hope that next year is going to be different by saying, like, it's a chinuch thing?
Ah, saying a very important idea that maybe, and that's actually one theory, relates to one theory why there's no chinuch for avelus, right? That if a person really, you know, I have a cousin who I once spent Tisha B'Av with him. He's a very chashav yid, Baruch Weider, Rosh Yeshiva Yeshiva Nakotel. Anyway, so I was with him once on Tisha B'Av, and he had this very old, tattered kinos. And he said, I can't buy a new one. Every year I really want to buy a new one. But, like, it doesn't seem worth it to buy a new one just to use once. And so, Mameilatza.
There's so many things that we do, like you're supposed to like not have them on paper or hide them or bury them every year.
Right. So that's true. But I think that it's also true. And here one reason might not just be the chinuch of the katan, but when the gdolim see the ktanim in avelos, so that makes the gdolim sadder. But also I would add, which is that this is very important for their general education. To see and to experience and to feel avelos for the korban. That's one of the hardest things to educate because it's so hard for us to feel it. And you have to start at a young age. And therefore, it's not just about the acts as much as instilling, educating the feeling of what the Beis HaMikdash is and what it means to live life without one. And for that, chinuch is certainly very important. So another issue I wanted to talk about is the isser of... well, you know what, we could bring up the question Lisa had before. So, and then we'll go to some other questions. So Lisa asked the following question. Tell me if I'm getting it right. The question was, you heard that when you're having company, you should leave out a dish. So that halacha is indeed a halacha that applies all year long. There are halachos of avelos, or not, I shouldn't say avelos, but of zecher lemikdash, that apply the entire year. And many of them, for some reason, and it's not even so clear why, are not observed. So one such halacha is what you said. Let me see if I could find it. So it's based on a Gemara in Bava Basra. And the Gemara in Bava Basra lists a number of restrictions for avelos that apply the whole year. And this is how it's paskened in Shulchan Aruch. This is in Simen Tav Kuf Samach, Sif Beis. V'chein hiskinu sha'orech shulchan, laso su'da la'orchem, mechaser mimenu me'at, u'meniach makom panoi, below ka'ara. If you're having a meal for guests, what does guests mean? So this is not presumably a regular meal that you have every day, but it's a more chashev meal. So you should leave over something, and not just leave out a dish, but leave the place where it goes empty. Panui below ka'ara mina ka'aros haru'uyos lase sham. So missing something that should be there. So the Mishnah Berurah writes about this. Afilu sudas mitzvah kamila, the chasana, the kol shekein sar sudos. It applies even for sudas mitzvah, certainly other sudos. The ayin b'morktsia, de besudas Shabbos v'yantif lo yachzer shem davar. So it doesn't apply in Shabbos and yantif. Mechzer mimenu ba'ah, you leave out a little bit, kolomar. She'enu nosin kol tafshilin ha'ri'uyim l'suda. You don't put out all the dishes that are ra'ui for that suda, l'machzer me'at. Afilu kasad harsin adayim. You leave out something, even kasad harsin, a simple dish, is enough. U'miniach makom panui, and you have to leave the place blank. Di lav hachi, lo yeh nikr hachisaron. The chisaron won't be obvious. Avak she'aniach panui, but if the place is left empty, yargishu shahayi ra'ui o tafshil. So then everybody will understand that there should have been something here, and it's not. Elishin nechzar. Okay. Shenoa gimbahem. So you leave out a dish that's would is nahug, it's normal. Hainum yeshar be mine tachsh. Oh, that's actually later. That's for the jewelry where we have similar halacha. Now, the Bir Halacha writes that tsarich iyun shekol ze ein nawagin klal. It's according to the Chayadim. Nobody ever does this. Why not? Not so clear. He says tsarich iyun, and he doesn't know. One theory that some suggest is that we don't have a specific menu such that we could leave something out. Let's say I leave out, I make a meal for guests, a nice meal, and I leave out a side dish. So nobody knows I left out a side dish. I just didn't have this many side dishes. I would have wanted to have one main course and three side dishes. Instead, I make two side dishes. So everybody thinks, okay, that's like a normal. There's no way for us. If there were something that was more regimented and there would be possible to leave out a dish and then leave out the place of the dish so you could be mekayem. One way or the other, as I said, for some reason, even though this idea appears in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, it is not practiced. So it's not practiced. So there's no reason why the 3 weeks should be any different than the rest of the year. So I've never heard of what you said, Lisa, but I would imagine that it's coming from the following type of argument. Rav Moshe makes this argument, maybe we'll talk about this next, with respect to music. Everybody knows you're not supposed to listen to music during the 3 weeks. We'll see in a moment that there's actually no source for that idea. So Rav Moshe writes, you should observe it anyway. Because really, strictly speaking, I think you're not allowed to listen to music the whole year. This relates to another Gemara that says that you can't listen to music Zechel Chorban. There's a big machlokas Rishonim, what it means. Rav Moshe thinks that really the halacha should be like the Tshuvas HaRambam, that basically you shouldn't listen to regular music the whole year. However, Rav Moshe acknowledges that's not the minhag. The Baal Yatosos and the Ramah limit that restriction perhaps to music at meals or other things. But he says, since really that's what should be done, at the very least, for the 3 weeks, you should follow what I really think is also the entire year. That's basically his presentation. So, I never heard of what you said, Lisa, but I imagine that that's exactly what whoever said that was saying. He's saying, really, this should be us or the whole year. But for some reason, some inexplicable reason, we don't observe it the whole year. But at the very least, during the 3 weeks, which is a time that we more intensely mourn the Chorban, at least we should really do what we do all year. Right? It's like some people, I ate lunch with someone today, who said, Al Naharos Bavel. So Al Naharos Bavel, you're supposed to say it the whole year. Nobody does it. So, during the 3 weeks, at least I'll do what... But really, I mean, that's not halacha, it's a minhag, but really, the way he thought of it was, one should do the whole year. So, if you wish to do it during the 3 weeks, that's a fine thing to do. Again, I don't even know to what extent it's possible to leave something out, because as I said, there's not really a fixed, regimented menu. But anyway, even if you were to try to do it, it's not like your regular supper. It's talking about a more festive meal, mm-hmm. presumably. But if you wish to try to follow this halacha that shaykh the whole year during the 3 weeks, then okay, it's a nice idea. I've never heard of it, but I certainly don't object. Anything that we could do that helps bring the Churban HaBayis into our consciousness during these 3 weeks is certainly something worthwhile considering. Now, I mentioned before that there's a common minhag of not having listening to music during the 3 weeks, and I also mentioned that there's no clear-cut source for this. So is there any source at all? So first let's talk about Avelos, and then we'll talk about the 3 weeks. So when it comes to Avelos, I was wondering what the source for this is. So I looked at the Divrei Sofer, which is a contemporary work, written 20, 30 years ago by a prolific author, someone who really knows everything. And I knew that he would tell me that it's Aser and give me a source. So I was very excited, so I looked. And in the Divrei Sofer, Simon Shin Sadi Aleph, Sif Katan Gimel, and he cites it. Now, Shin Sadi Aleph relates to the Iser of Simcha during Avelos, which includes things like not going to parties and weddings and the like. And he writes, in the name of the Chachmas Adam, Chachmas Adam is written by the author of the Chayadav, clearly a very authoritative work, Klei Zemer Gamken Bechlal Iser Simcha, that musical instruments are also included. So I looked at the Chachmas Adam, and I didn't see that he said that. This is what the Chachmas Adam does say. He's talking about weddings, he's talking about the fact that during Avelos for one's parents, one shouldn't even go to weddings for Yud Beis Chodesh for the entire year. However, there are certain exceptions. One of the exceptions is that if it's a Suda, if it's a wedding of a Yasum, the Yasoma, and the wedding wouldn't happen without your participation, so then it's permissible for the Avel to go to the wedding. What does that mean? How literal is it? Not so clear. Some poskim understand it a little more broadly, that your participation will make a very, very big difference. Here's Yasom v'Yasoma, they don't have parents, so you're doing an incredible mitzvah of basically making the wedding for them, and your participation is essential, so that is a exception. So the Shulchan Aruch says that's an exception only after Shloshim, but not during Shloshim, even though the Yisr Simcha, the Yisr going to weddings, applies all Yud Beis Chodesh, but it's a little more strict after the Shloshim. It's in that context that he writes, why is it that we're so machmir during the shloshim. Kol makom mesudas yasam sheyes bak sham klei zemer modim daser. That it's because there's klei zemer. So that's saying that the reason why the wedding meal is more restrictive, that we're not makel at all during the shloshim, is because of the musical instruments. So that's true. But it's a jump to say from there that all musical instruments are aser. Maybe it's the music, it's the orchestra that makes the wedding so leibedik, which is why the iser of an aval going to the wedding is so restrictive, because of the music. But there's really two jumps that the Chachmas Adam is making here. Number one is he's extending music at a wedding, not Chachmas Adam, the Divrei Sofer, the contemporary work. He's extending music at a wedding to music not at a wedding, which not necessarily the same. And then he's also extending that to recorded music, which is also not the same. Now he's saying, well, recorded music, the tape recorder is also an instrument. What difference, you know, who says you need a actual instrument? The keyboard that they use at weddings, it's also just, it's a boombox with like keys on it. So what's the difference? That's what his argument is. But it's not at all an obvious jump. So it's not a requirement, but it's certainly for the assumption. Now, there might be another makor that's relevant during the 3 weeks that doesn't apply during regular veils. It might also, but it might not. And that's found in the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is Simen Tav Kuf Nun Aleph. It's commenting on the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes that, as we've noted, you don't get married during the 3 weeks, at least Ashkenazim. But it's okay for a couple to get engaged. Erusin, or nowadays we don't do Erusin separate from the wedding, but what we would call engaged, that's okay. It's even okay on Tisha B'Av. We don't want things to get messed over. Shema Yikad Menu Acher. If you don't chap erayin at the right time, who knows? So that's mutter. You don't want to delay when it's the right time. But you shouldn't make a meal. And then the Magen Avraham says, well, you can't make a meal, but, you know, what's called a l'chaim, with a little bit of mine mirkacha, some desserts, while you're writing the Tanayim, that's okay. Lo mikri suda. But then he writes, v'nirali da'asar lasos rikudin u'macholos miyud zayin Betamos va'elach. Rikudin u'macholos are aser from Shavasar Betamos onwards, the 3 weeks. So this is halacha that doesn't apply in Avelos. We might assume that it's the same, because there's an iser to go to weddings during Avelos and there's an iser during the 3 weeks, and maybe they're the same. It's not automatic, it's the same thing. But at least the point is that the Magen Avraham in the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, we accept this halacha, says, Rikudin u'macholos are aser during the 3 weeks. So the question is, now, there's no clear-cut source, so the Magen Avraham writes venerally, I think. Presumably, he's getting it from an extension from weddings. What's so bad about weddings? Yikudim u'macholos, so maybe even yikudim u'macholos that are not part of weddings are also aser. So now the question is, what does yikudim u'macholos mean? So how would you translate yikudim u'macholos? Dancing and music. So Rikudim is dancing. Mecholos is music. That's what you're saying, Mecholos. Like Parshas Beshalach, right? Vatikach Miriam, she took after Kriyas Yamsuf, Tupim and Mecholos. If you look at the Targum over there, so you're saying Mecholos means music. Now, that means dancing with music, or dancing or music?
Yeah.
Right. So, maybe you would say it means and. That's the only thing that's aser, is dancing with music. So it's going to be mutter to dance without music, and it's going to be mutter to have music without dancing. Truth is, that's the way I would have read it. So I would have said, based off of this Magen Avraham, and as I said, quoted from the Mishnah Berurah, as long as, if you're listening to music, but you're not dancing, that would be okay. Or if you look at the Arach HaShulchan, this is in Siman Taf Tzadi Gimel Siv Beis. It's talking actually about Sefer HaOmer, but the same thing would apply over here. He writes, Umotar Laso Suda, Achlo Berikudin Umecholos, V'kol Shekein She'aser Lezamer B'klei Zamer. It's aser, but you can't have Rikudim Umecholos, and certainly you can't have music. So, is he learning Rikudim Umecholos the way you are learning it? No, because then it's not a Kol Shekein, right? So I think he's probably learning Rikudim Umecholos. Rikudim and Mecholos are two types of dancing. Rikudim is like dancing with one or two people, and Mecholos are like circle dancing, like it refers to the Mecholos HaKerem. So it's circle dancing. And what he's saying, I presume, is that if dancing's aser, certainly music's aser. This is not necessarily a obvious Kal Vachomer. In fact, Rabbi Willig thinks it's incorrect. And he thinks that effectively the iser of listening to music is a minig taus. And you could listen to music during Avelos, during Sfiras HaOmer, during the 3 weeks. He calls this a kula she'ena tzibur yecholam lamod bo, because nobody will listen to him. Now, I remember when he told me this, I asked him, I don't understand, Rabbi. Okay, you think that the Kal Vachomer, the Arach HaShulchan, is a mistake. He thinks it's based off of his understanding of Mizmutei Chasam Mekala. Whatever it is, it's a mistake. Granted, it's a mistake. It's wrong. Only dancing with music is aser, but music without dancing should be mutter. But by now it's become a minhag, because everybody knows that it is a minhag. Everybody knows you don't have music during the 3 weeks. And all of this is minhagim anyway. There's certainly no halacha. Even singing, dancing, music, that's also during the 3 weeks, or Sefiras HaOmer, it's not. All that is minhag anyway. So, granted, there's no source. So the source is the minhag. It's like any other minhag. He says, no, it's minhag tos. What does that mean? That when a minhag, what is a minhag? A minhag is basically a situation where a community accepts upon themselves a practice not mandated by the halacha, but that has positive religious value. So, if the minhag is premised in a false understanding of the halacha, then it's not binding. If the minhag is premised in a correct understanding of the halacha, namely that the halacha does not demand this particular act, but the community, whether it's a single community or the entire Klal Yisrael, accepts upon themselves this practice, so then it does become binding. Minhag is obligatory. Sometimes people use their, it's just a minhag, like I don't have to do it. If it's a bona fide minhag, it's obligatory. The Gemara says that you have to observe minhagim, among other things. The Pasuk says, Al titosh Torah simecha. So minhagim are certainly binding. But let's give an example. Ashkenazim have a minhag of not eating kidney oats. That is certainly a minhag. Now let's say that minhag originated because people thought that rice is chametz. It's not. But that's what they thought. So that's why they stopped eating rice. That would be a minhag tos, and there would be no reason to observe such a minhag. And even if the whole community has observed this minhag for hundreds of years, if we could show that it was based off of faulty understanding of the halacha, it would be a minhag tos. There'd be no reason to observe it any further. So that's what it will look saying. Look, this minhag of not listening to music during the 3 weeks, or Sefiras HaOmer, comes from the Arach HaShulchan. The Arach HaShulchan made a mistake. It's a great posseg, but he made a mistake. And therefore, it's a minhag tos and needs not be observed. So I asked him, but doesn't the Rama write in a number of places, but I'll pick you one, that when you have a minhag, even though it's a minhag tos, basically, but if it's nisyaset al pi gedolim, then it must be observed. I'll give you one example. There are other places, but the Rama Yordei Simen Tzadi Gimel. It says, it's talking about a issue that need not concern us now, how you kasher a pot cover. But he writes, Lekach Omer anila dehameka lo hefsid v'amachmir b'shalot avlag racha aval en lahachmir b'shalchem kol v'chol ze ani omer b'makom she'en minag aval makom she'nagu lahachmir en l'shanos aval miyeshtad ba'ol makal em hatam shalnos intam lefkam ani meko bo ki af she'nagu b'chomer gedol lahazos havud lo losef ala v'yashir chayli avato haminag ki haminag tosu v'en lo tam lesmoch alav. I think this is a minhag taus. It doesn't make any sense. If I had the authority, I would be mevatel the minhag. But, and therefore, any place that doesn't have this minhag, you don't have to observe the minhag. But in a place that has the minhag must be observed. Why? Because he does note it comes from the Hagos Sharidura, it comes from Bidu Peretz, other very great sources. And basically, what's he saying? When you have a minhag taus that was supported by Gedolim, and that's actually the minhag, you have to observe it. So that was a question I asked Rabbi Willing. And then the music started for the wedding. And that was the end of the conversation. So I don't know what the answer is. But that's what he said. So you have to find out how he would respond to that. Maybe he'd say that's different, because the Raman, a different sefer in Tos Chatos, at least comes up with some far-fetched justification for the minhag. But here too, there's a justification. I'm not sure. Anyway, the minhag ha'olam is certainly not to listen to music during the 3 weeks. However, I think that because, as we've noted, it has such a questionable origin, if there are other tzadim lahakel, there's room for leniency. What do I mean, tzadim lahakel? Somebody wants to exercise. It's a very good thing to do, to exercise. And they exercise better with music. So, If the music's going to help them exercise, and they're not going to exercise particularly as well without the music, it's hard enough to, like, even with music, to, like, keep on going and not, like, stop. So I think that's okay for health reasons. Or they're driving and they're afraid that they're going to doze off. I think you could listen to music. Or it's not lively music. It's not dancing music at all. I think there's room to be mako. All these cases, I think, are okay, even though, again, according to Rabbi Willig, everything's okay, but even if you're not going to accept Rabbi Willig's kula, I think there's room for leniency in cases like these. Yes?
So what kind of a situation are you? I'm a bus counselor. That's one of the things I do over the summer.
A bus counselor.
So I'm basically with the kids on the bus touring, like, to camp. And one of the things that calms them down is music.
One of the things that calms them down
on the way there is music.
What age kids? But
anywhere from the age of, like, 3 until, like, 14.
Aha!
So there's, like, a whole mix of ages there. And I don't really want to play music because I don't listen to music. Is there, like, an idea to, like, really stick to that, to be a mechanic, like, kids, even though otherwise they would probably listen to a cappella or something?
I think that because this minhag is widespread, it would be a milsa de tmiya to listen to music. And, you know, there are people that are higiel chanuch and even gedolim, like you said. So I don't think it would be appropriate to play music on the bus. If you can figure something else that will calm them down, that's not bechlal, that would be okay. But even, I would say, even if you wanted to accept Rabbi Willig's kula, it would still be inappropriate in a public venue, because that's what everybody understands as being aser. Okay. There are more things, but we're out of time. Say we leave them for next year, but you said we're not allowed to do that. So maybe we'll leave them for next week. We'll see. Okay. So, B'siyata Dishmaya will pick up next week.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Let's say you buy a new car. So for a family, that would be Hatova and Mitzvah, right? Mm-hmm. But for an individual, it would probably
be... So Rav Moshe writes exactly what you just said. We can talk about next week, the Gedarim of this, but Rav Moshe says that an individual buying a car for himself is shechianu, and therefore you shouldn't do it. But but for a family, or any time multiple people are going to benefit, then the bracha is a tovah meitiv, and it would be okay. Now.